أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بارئ الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Inshallah, we hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us in the remainder of this month, especially on the nights of Qadr, to be able to benefit, to be able to have a change in our life, hopefully for the better, so that we don't leave this month the same as we started, inshallah. We mentioned the importance of Laylatul Qadr, which is approaching. Tomorrow night will be the first night that we are going to be starting the A'mal, and we're gradually going to get into those nights. Very, very important, beneficial nights. They are opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put before us if we are able to take advantage of, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Now, on these nights, we mentioned that what's very important will be what we've been told to do. One of the very key elements in the a'mal is dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, requesting Him for different needs and different requests. So we want to talk a little bit about dua. We want to make sure if this is the night that is going to change the course of our life for the following year, and hopefully for the years to come, we want to make sure the dua that we make is an effective dua. We don't want to have a dua that sometimes we see it is ineffective. We don't see results. We don't see what we asked for coming true. We don't want that type of dua. So we want to find out how that happens. The first thing that we started with in this regard was a question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the midst of the verses related to the month of Ramadan and fasting, mentions this very interesting point. He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If my servants ask you about me, then I am near. Sometimes we don't understand the extent of how near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We don't realize His presence, the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every second, every moment of our life. They said a teacher was trying to test his students, and he told them, he gave them each a chicken and told them, go where nobody's watching you and kill this chicken and bring it tomorrow. So next day the students came, and so he asked one of them who had done that, he asked him, okay, so where did you find that nobody was there? He said, I went to this cave somewhere and there was nobody there, nobody saw me, nobody watched, and I did it. So okay, good. Second person, I went in this basement. Third person, one of the students didn't kill his chicken. And he asked him, so why didn't you do what I told you? He said, I couldn't find any place that no one was there.
Subhanallah.
Because any place I went, God was there. And the teacher said, that's what I wanted. I said, this is the lesson, this is what I wanted to understand. Anywhere we go, salamu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us. They say, it's famous that they say, The entire world is in the presence of God, so we've got to try to keep that presence and the respect of it and not commit sins, inshallah.
Inshallah.
There's another interesting story from, I believe it's either Imam al-Baqir or Imam al-Sadiq.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
How many of your brothers and sisters have been to Hajj? When you go there, alhamdulillah, inshallah, Allah increase the numbers and all of us get to go. When you go there, one thing that you notice is that when you start praying, we're usually not used to this. We pray, kids run around, people go maybe in front of us, we're okay with it. But our brothers and sisters over there, they're not okay with it. You try walking in front of them, you may get knocked out. Okay? So, that's something that they've been taught. Okay? And it's not new. They were taught this many, many years and centuries ago. Okay. So, during the time of Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
If it's, as I said, I have a doubt which one of the Imams it is, whether it's Imam al-Baqir or Imam al-Sadiq. Anyhow, a father, the Imam was the father, possibly Imam al-Baqir, and then his son, Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi, the son, as a child, in Masjid al-Haram was praying. Abu Hanifa sees him. And he sees that people are moving in front of him and he's okay with it. He doesn't like stop them and prevent them or anything like that. So he goes and tells on him to his father and says, this is how your son prays. Don't you need to teach him a lesson? He said, well, let's ask he himself if he has an answer for it. So they brought him. So we've heard that this is how you pray. He said, the God that I know is closer to me than those people. The God that I am speaking to is closer to me than these people. I don't need to worry about this guy moving in front of me. We don't understand. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer to us than our jugular veins. That's something to try to think about. To allow it to seep in and understand. He says, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ in the Holy Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ I am very close. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ I respond to the call of those who call upon me. They ask for help. They want something from me. Whoever asks, I will give. Right, there's no conditions mentioned there either. The question is, if that's the case, then why is it that when we pray, when we ask, when we supplicate, we do loads of other things too. We've heard do 100 salawat, that's going to cause your prayers to come true. We do that. We hear that you do minnat, it's going to cause your prayers to come true. We do that as well. We do loads of things and then people come and say, I've been praying for this thing 4 or 5 years and it's not coming true. So why is that? If this verse is telling us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ Allama Tabatawi has a very interesting explanation. I'm not going to take your time with it. It's very deep. I'm not sure if I am even understanding the depths of what he's trying to say. But very briefly, he says it has to do with two things. The verse says, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ A person who's actually asking for something. A lot of times, we're not even asking for something. Right? A lot of times, we're not really asking for it. For example, when we actually ask for things related to the hereafter, I'll be the first to confess, we don't really ask for it. Okay. We're not really asking for it. We're just reading that dua. Okay. أَوْوِ عَلَىٰ خِدْمَتِكَ جَوَارِحِ Oh Allah, give me strength for my body not to go do business, make money, none of that. Not that that's bad, but no. عَلَىٰ خِدْمَتِكَ That I want to serve you. I want to be strong to be able to serve you. Even my work that brings in money for the family and food for the table, that's in service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, when I read that in Doc, man, that's the part that we're really tired. Just can we get it over with? You know? We don't even realize what the meaning is. وَأَخَافَكَ مَخَافَةَ الْمُقَنِينَ I want to have the fear of God in me the way those who have absolute certainty about His presence. If you know your dad is in the room, you wouldn't do a lot of things. Okay. If you're sure He's there, you're not. If you know He's peeking, you're not going to do a lot of things. God, the Creator of everything, is there, and we do loads of things. Okay. If we have that yaqeen, we would not. That fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we ask for it, do we really ask for it? Are we really asking? Do we even understand what we are asking? That when we read that dua, we actually ask for it. Okay. So when it comes to the spiritual things, when it comes to the du'as related to our souls, related to the hereafter, related to our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm the first to confess, we're not really asking. We're not da'i ila da'an. We're just reading. Reading and asking are two different things, totally different. Even when we're told, you know, if you ask God, God's going to give it to you. I'm like, okay, God, please, can you give me this? I'm not really asking Him. I'm not really thinking of that as a request that I'm making to God. I'm just saying something. Those words mean nothing if it's not coming from the heart. The words, this tongue, the movement of it is only going to be effective if it's a reflection of what's in the heart. Otherwise, just saying things, God may be merciful on us and sometimes make it come true, even if we're not really seriously asking. Right? But that's His mercy. That's His kindness. Otherwise, we're not really asking. Because that's the other thing. You'll be deserving of it if you actually ask. But a lot of times, without us even asking, He gives us. That's His mercy. That's His kindness. So number one, there has to be da'a. There has to be someone that is making a request. If we're not even making a request, then what is He going to answer? What is He going to try to respond to? And the other thing, which is more important, hopefully later on, maybe one of the following nights or evenings we'll be able to cover, He says, إِذَا دَعَانِ That little, what do you guys call it? You guys call it zir as well?
Zir.
Zir, okay. The kasra, right? That little kasra, all right, replaces a ya. There's supposed to be a ya there, but in Arabic grammar, sometimes they leave that ya out and they just put that little zir there. All right, or kasra in Arabic. Da'ani. Da'ani means da'ani. Those who call upon me. If you actually call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's going to respond to you. Okay? And there's an emphasis there. Those who only ask me. But when we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't only ask Him. Okay. Inshallah, I'll continue with that line. But this was, I tried to water this down. This is not a full explanation. This is not something that we can understand. How do I relate loads of other things? There are times that I'm really sincerely, I'm asking God to the best of my abilities. I'm pleading. I'm even crying. I mean, how much more sincere can you get? I'm shedding tears here. Don't tell me I'm not a da'i. Okay. How can you be one any more than this? And I'm really asking God, there's nobody else that I'm thinking of at that point. And what happens? There's a complicated explanation how everything goes back to these two. I'll leave that out. Let's go to the ahadith to get something a little more simple so we can understand. Because they, the a'imma, the Ahlul Bayt, spoke to us at a level where we can understand. Okay. They have the much, much, much more complicated stuff than, as I mentioned, Allama Taltawai mentioned there, that we try to understand. But there are things that, there's explanations for people like me that we don't, not way up there. Okay. So, when we look at hadith, the sayings of the Ahlul Bayt, we find that there are different things that we got to be careful with if we want those prayers to be answered. If you want to have an effective dua in Laylatul Qadr. The first, you know, when we read Dua al-Qumayl, I hope we read Dua al-Qumayl. I hope we read, understand, and actually make those du'as. Okay. We ask. It's supposed to teach us what to ask. One of the lines at the beginning of the dua that we read is this: Allahumma ghafir. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins, right? One of those lines is Allahumma ghafir liyadhunub allati tahbisu dua. Oh Allah, forgive me of the sins that prevent the dua from moving up, ascending to you. Kind of put a cap on it. Doesn't even go up. Doesn't allow it to go. There are certain sins that if committed, or many sins if committed, in fact, according to the understanding of some of the ulama, any sin committed prevents dua, is an obstacle from dua being answered. Okay. If we're making dua, if we're praying, if we're asking for things and they're not being responded to, and God does not answer those calls, it's very, very likely it's because of our own conduct. It's because of what we've been doing. Okay. We have that line in there. Let's get some explanation more beyond that in hadith. Recite a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
There's a hadith, Abdullah ibn Sanan, one of the companions of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi, quotes him. He says, first I read it one way, and it was shocking enough. I hope it really causes us to move. But then I read it again and realized that I had misunderstood and misread the first part of it and realized it's far beyond what I had imagined. First, I had thought it says, "Man kana zaliman," okay, a person who oppresses. Then I realized it says, "Man adhira zaliman." It says, "Man adhira zaliman bi dhulmihi, sallatallahu alayhi man yadhlimuh." فَإِنْ دَعَى لَمْ يَسْتَجِبْ لَهُ. Alright, this is how bad oppressing others is. Okay. And we'll give some examples. He says, if a person makes an excuse and says, you know, there's an oppressor, somebody oppressed another person, and instead of doing something about it, instead of getting on to them if we can, or at the very least, as the hadith say, we have this hatred towards that oppression. We dislike it. That's how we're supposed to be towards oppression. We can't be Shia to Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi and just be careless. Oppression's going on. Yeah, people are being oppressed. People are being killed. And we're going about our business as usual. Having our iftar, good food, going to work, spending money, luxuries, all of that. People are getting killed and I'm not even bothered by that. No one can claim to be the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very severe on oppression. He says, if you give an excuse, make an excuse. Sometimes we see this happening. Sometimes we see this happening at different levels, at different levels. Sometimes, unfortunately, even for some of the most oppressive systems globally, because as I said, oppression has got different ranks, different levels, right? There's simple oppressions that we commit, God forbid, which is for us as believers, it's really bad. The treatment we give one another, which I'll cover after this. But sometimes the oppressor that we're speaking of is one of some of the most oppressive systems in the world. The United States government is oppressing people here and abroad, and we're absolutely fine. We make excuses for it. We're fine with it. We don't have a problem. This is not the Shia. I mean, if I see oppression, and we give excuses, yeah, sometimes we condemn and we blame the oppressed. This is very sad. The Imam says, "Man hadhira zaliman." You haven't committed oppression yourself, you just give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he was It's clear oppression, you make excuses for that person. Maybe it was because of this, maybe it was because of that. Maybe those guys deserved it. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring someone over him, that he will give him authority over this person that will oppress him. Let's say if I was making an excuse for the Zionist regime or the American government in their oppressions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring an oppressor that's going to be oppressing me. And then at that point, I'm having serious trouble and I'm asking God, can you please help me? He says, I'm not going to answer your call. How in the world? You're okay with the oppression of oppressors? Okay, taste it yourself. Feel how it is. This is how oppression, how bad dhulm is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. When anyone commits the crime of oppression, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not guide them. And guidance is the most needed thing in our lives. Okay. Says he doesn't provide that. Dhulm is in different forms. If this is what we're going to get, if we're just making excuses for a dhalim, then imagine how bad it is if we are actually creating that oppression. We can be oppressive, very oppressive, to our siblings, to our parents, to our spouses. Every word that is said, if we raise the volume of our voice inappropriately, when we're not allowed, if we disturb them, if we, God forbid, hit them, if we don't fulfill the responsibilities and obligations we have towards them. Had a hard day at work, I come home and I want to get on to everybody in the house. That's oppression, that's dhulm. Okay. It's one of those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to answer the calls if we are towards our children, towards our spouses, towards our siblings, towards our parents. And the next thing he says there is, which is interesting, he says, وَلَمْ يَأْجُرْهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ ظَلَامَتِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to give him any ajr, any reward for the oppression that he is taking, he or she is taking. In other words, when one is being oppressed, if one is the likes of Sayyid al-Shuhada salamullah alayhi, or the companions of the Imam, or the companions of the A'imma, the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, or Amir al-Mu'mineen himself, he was oppressed. أَوَّلُ مَظْلُومُ. Okay. أَوَّلُ مَظْلُومُ. The oppression that Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi faced. Very, very difficult oppression that he faced. But that dhulm is not because he, God forbid, did anything wrong. And therefore, that dhulm that he is receiving, God is going to give him rewards for being patient with that. This is one hadith that we have. Another hadith, very interesting. Recite salawati.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We have a companion of our beloved Imam As-Sadiq that is referred to as Umar ibn Yazid. Okay, that name may not sound to Shia, to the brothers and sisters at this time, but oh, this is a very Shia person, a very good companion, and well, there's points that I can derive from that, but I'll leave that because of the time. قال, he says, quoting the Imam, كَانَ فِي بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلُ رَجُلٌ. There's a person in Bani Israel. We have in a lot of our verses and also in a lot of our hadith, we're told the stories of Bani Israel. This man says, فَدَعَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَرْزُقَهُ غُلَامًا ثَلَاثَ سَنِينَ. He used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 3 consecutive years, okay, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a child. That sometimes people ask for a child, sometimes people have been praying, they come, they say, I've been praying 5 years to God, for God to give me a good wife, a good husband. Different things. Just 3 years. For 3 years, and that is a dua to make for those who haven't gotten married yet. That's a real dua to make, because a good spouse can really change your life for the better, and a bad one can destroy your life. says after 3 years his prayer is not answered. So فَلَمَّا رَأَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُجِيبُهُ, he sees that God has not responded to his prayer. He says, يَا رَبِّ, he speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's heartbroken. He says, يَا رَبِّ أَبَعِيدٌ أَنَا مِنْكَ فَلَا تَسْمَعْنِي, am I too far away that my words do not reach you? You can't hear me, I'm too far away. أَمْ قَرِيبٌ أَنْتَ مِنِّي فَلَا تُجِيبُنِي, or are you close to me but still you don't? Now this is a very sincere word coming from the bottom of his heart. Okay. If one comes to this very deep understanding, that shows this person is deserving of something, and that's what happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides guidance for this person. Guidance in the form of a dream. Okay, let me say right now, not every dream is guidance. Okay, there's a lot of dreams that are baloney. Okay, we've had too much food the night before. Our thoughts have been very disturbed the day before, and that's why we had the dream. Okay, so don't think that, or we shouldn't think that if we have a dream, then there must be something about it, and God's trying to communicate something. And then sometimes we think even we've seen something. Anyhow, he says, فَأَتَاهُ آتٍ فِي مَنَامِهِ, someone was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his dream to tell him, فَقَالْ إِنَّكَ تَدْعُ اللَّهِ, this is the problem. He says, your problem is, إِنَّكَ تَدْعُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مُنْذُ ثَلَاثَ سَنِينَ, you've been asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 3 whole years, بِلِسَانٍ بَذِيئًا, with a tongue that is dirty. Badi means to speak foul language, something that's very, very common out here. For some people, they can't put a sentence together without mentioning a four-lettered word. Okay. And I don't understand. We have hadith, very scary hadith about this. It says that if you find someone that doesn't care what they say and what is said to them, they can use any F word or whatever against them or against their, God forbid, it's very common, unfortunately, even say it about people's mothers. Very, very, very dirty language. Okay. And they just don't care. Yeah. As buddies, they're just loads of foul language. And, no, it's just my buddy. It's okay if he says that. I don't care. He says, if you see someone that doesn't care what they say and what is said about them, then you should know that shaitan was involved with the making of that child. Okay. Somehow involved. When we have instructions what to do, so that if we are having, if we want to have a baby, if we want to have a child, what to do so that we don't have that happen. Okay. Zikr, mentioned Bismillah, for example, and so on and so forth. So, foul language is very, very bad. I don't know why we don't consider it that bad. And sometimes we do consider it bad and wrong, but when the time comes and we are angry enough, then we forget about that. And we allow ourselves to use it, especially when it comes to people that are weaker than us. God forbid, if it's towards our children, towards our spouse. God forbid, if anybody gets a little older, then they feel like they can say whatever they want to their parents. But to anyone, to friends, to whatever. He says, you've been asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a tongue that is badi'ah. A tongue that is using foul language. وَقَلْبٍ عَاتٍ غَيْرِ تَقِيمٍ. The heart of yours does not have the quality of taqwa. Okay. The heart is haramullah. The heart is the sanctity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the space that we should dedicate to only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead, speaking for myself, I've darkened it with the sins and thoughts and actions that the heart does. Everything except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very, very devastating. He says, وَقَلْبٍ عَاتٍ غَيْرِ تَقِيمٍ, وَنِيَّةٍ غَيْرِ صَادِقَةٍ. The intention for why you were asking was not a sincere and truthful intention. These are what is mentioned. So he was advised, try to correct that. Correct your language. Correct your deeds. Correct your conduct. Try to bring that taqwa to your heart. And once he was able to accomplish that, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he was given, he was granted a child. This is what happens a lot of times. We recite Salawat, please. We don't consider the sins, we don't give them importance. As I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes is merciful. He gives us even though we have crossed those boundaries. Even though we've done wrong, He still gives us. But not always. Not always. If we have a real important request that we want to make, the way that we can have that request answered is in regards is to be able to avoid sins. Now that we've talked about sins, something that's very important, trying to avoid this process of getting away from this so that we can have those sincere du'as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer. I want to talk a little bit, very briefly, the next 10 minutes hopefully we'll finish, about sins and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats it. I found this very interesting hadith that I hope we're able to benefit from the Ahlul Bayt on this hadith. Recite Salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The effect of sin, the effect of committing sins, going over the divine boundaries, the red lines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put before us that we're not supposed to cross, what the effects of that are, and what the effect of avoiding that are. Before I give you the wording and we try to understand it, we need to understand something about sin itself. Why do we commit sin? Why do angels not commit sins? Right, we're told angels don't commit sins. بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ لَا يَسْبِقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ يَعْمَلُونَ. The angels are not daughters of God the way the mushrikeen believe. They are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that do not precede Him in words. They don't say anything before Him. They don't try to make decisions before Him. And they act in accordance to what He tells them. They do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a misunderstanding regarding them. Sometimes people think that angels don't have will of themselves. They're forced to. Like God tells them, just like a robot, they're like God's robots, you know. When you program a robot, then it does, if it's designed properly, of course, it will do as it's told. All right, without any will. It doesn't make a decision whether it wants to do that or not. It just does it. And some people think angels are like that too. God tells them, do something, they just automatically like a robot. They don't have any will of themselves. But that's not the case. Angels have will. Angels have understanding. With that, they still don't commit any sins. But the difference that we have with them, the angels and human beings, is that human beings also have something referred to as hawa. Okay, the desires. Angels don't have that. Angels are only aql. They're only the non-material existence that they have, and because they don't have anything material, they don't have those desires. Our material existence requires certain desires for it to live, but then there is a kind of a conflict between the interest of the material body and the interest of the soul and the spiritual side of us. And we've got to make the right choice between those. The soul wants one thing, the body wants something else. The body wants all the food that it can get. Okay? But the soul doesn't want all the food that it can get. The soul wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The body has other desires as well that are even stronger than the desire towards food and drink. And it wants whatever it can get. That's why the West has moved towards so much corruption. So many scenes that are created to attract the desire. Everything, all the commercials. You want to buy a car? They'll put a lady that's not dressed appropriately. So your desires are tapped into, so you move towards that instead. Okay. They want to, that desire in itself wants to constantly be satisfied. Alright? So there's a conflict. We go over boundaries when those desires, those the hawa that we have, overrides what the soul wants, which what the soul wants is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells it. So based on that, let's understand this hadith. Abu Hamza al-Thumali, the companion who is the one who has received the famous dua of Abu Hamza al-Thumali, which hopefully we'll get the chance to recite. He says, he quotes Imam Abu Ja'far salamullah alayhi. Imam al-Baqir. And Imam al-Baqir quotes the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet quotes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oaths. He says, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي وَعَذَمَتِي وَكِبْرِيَائِي وَنُورِي وَعُلُوِّي وَارْتِفَاعُ مَكَانِي. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing. He swears by his izzah, he swears by his might, he swears by his greatness, he swears by his light. He mentions at the end of that, لَا يُؤْثِرْ عَبْدٌ هَوَاهُ عَلَى هَوَايَا إِلَّا شَتَّتُ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرَهُ وَلَبَّسْتُ عَلَيْهِ الدُّنْيَا. It's very interesting, very moving. Many lessons can be taken from it. It says, whoever takes his desire over what I want, okay, puts that and gives that priority over what I want, okay, what I will do to them is the following. لَشَتَّتُ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرَهُ. You know, sometimes you want to go and do something, and no matter what you do, it just doesn't work. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really, really gets on our nerves. Okay. You're coming out of the house, you may even trip a little bit. Okay. You're trying to put your shoes on, you can't get them in right. You get in the car, trying to start it, it doesn't work right. You get to the highway, there's an accident, you're stuck in traffic. Okay, you try to get out, then you have an accident. You're trying to call somebody, then the phone doesn't work. I don't know if you've been in that situation. I've been in a few times. And you're really outraged. You don't know what to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything, right? If He doesn't want, you cannot do anything. You can try whatever you want. He doesn't want it to happen, it won't. Okay, it won't. He says, I'm going to just keep him busy. شَتَّتُ إِلَيْهِ أَمْرَهُ. Everything. He wants to go to work. He wants to do his work at home. He needs to take care of something and go. And he's trying to find that file on the computer. He can't find it. Okay. He just has to take care of so many things and it's not coming together. It's just so scattered. Right? And he keeps trying to do this and the other and it's just not coming together. So this is what I'm going to do. That's number one. شَتَّتُ إِلَيْهَا. Two, لَبَّسْتُ عَلَيْهِ الدُّنْيَا. I'll make him think that this is the route that he can make money with. I'll go, some people, you know, when the stock market was going up, people were like, wow, you can make thousands of dollars within minutes. Okay, let's go invest. Like, sorry, lost thousands of dollars. You invested something, you didn't know how to do it. You think that this is a good business, you invest, and you lose your money. لَبَّسْتُ عَلَيْهِ الدُّنْيَا. Alright, I will do that. وَشَغِلْتُ قَلْبَهُ بِهَا. And I'm going to keep his or her heart busy with it. Right? It's not necessarily a combination of all of these. Sometimes even one of them. The heart is kept busy, the richest of the rich. Right? They're constantly worried about what they have. Some people had heart attacks when the stock market was going on. Some of the big guys, right? The big bucks. Right? Not the small guys, not the small fries. The big guys, they had heart attacks. They're worried. Okay? They're not willing to give up one penny. They're so worried about what they have. They don't easily give. Even when they make those nonprofit organizations, something that's going to benefit them in one way or the other. It's not something that, you know, put millions of dollars into something that's not going to happen. They like their name, for example. They want people to remember their name. So the worries, I'm going to keep their hearts busy with it, which is the worst punishment, the worst punishment. Even from a worldly and material perspective, okay, if you have all of that, but you're worried about it, you don't have that peace of mind, right? That's the worst punishment. But it's even worse, forget about this dunya, because if one's mind is constantly occupied with this dunya, we're kept busy with it, and we're not able to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the worst thing that can happen to us. And sometimes, to a lesser degree, it happens. It doesn't necessarily have to happen to that, you know, maximum extent where one is constantly worried. Sometimes we should be paying more attention in dua, making a better connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way some, as the verse of the Holy Quran describes the Ahlul Bayt, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That's something that we should be trying to move towards. People whom even the most material and worldly activities like shopping and business does not keep them away from thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That heart is always in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know how blessing that is? What type of blessing that is that one has? They're always enjoying the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It brings so much joy to the heart that we're even able to understand and comprehend what that means. When we read that line in Dua Kumeh with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or with Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayh, referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, recite the salawat please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Tassabartu ala adhabik, fa kayfa asbiru ala firaqik. I am capable of taking the pains, the hardships, the hellfire, the boiling water, the molten metal. I can take all of that, right? But I can't take pain away from you. That's something we say, but personally, for myself, I know. I don't even understand what that means. It's something that you gotta feel. If you've never had Hershey's chocolate, you describe what it is, you may be able to like get a picture, the color, the shape, possibly it's sweet, but sweetness has got different. There's a huge difference between some of the other chocolates or some of the other sweets and this particular one. Describing it in words is not going to give you what it tastes like. You gotta taste it. You gotta put it in your mouth, chew on it, and taste the flavor of it. That's when you're gonna know what it really feels like. Alright? So talking about not being able to take the being away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's something that you can talk about in words, but you're really not gonna get it until you feel it. Do I even know what it feels like to say then, I can't miss it, right? So keeping the minds busy with the dunya is one of the greatest punishments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Then he says, this is for someone that prefers their own will, their own desire over God's. But for someone that prefers God's desire, say whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Whatever. There's a hadith, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari goes to, I believe it's either Imam al-Sajjad or probably Imam al-Sajjad. See, he saw Imam al-Baqir but as a child. Imam al-Sajjad, salamullah, he went to him and the Imam told him, so Jabir, all these years you've been with the Holy Prophet and you've continued, he's been practicing. What's your level of faith? What have you arrived at? Can you describe it to me? He says, I've arrived at a state that I prefer hardship over ease. If I have hardship, I prefer that. I don't like ease. I don't like to have wealth either. I prefer poverty. I like it more when I don't have money. I ask God not to give me money because I prefer that. I don't want to have it. I want to have God, for example, in my words. The Imam tells him that's not how we are. We desire whatever God desires. If He wants us to have money, that's what we like. If He wants us not to have money, that's what we like. If He wants us to be at ease, that's what we like. If He wants to give us hardship, that's what we like. If He wants us to rule, that's what we like. If He doesn't want us to rule, that's what we like. If we want us to be striked in the head, that's what we like. Okay. Amir al-Mu'mineen sallallahu alayhi said, Fuztu Rabbil Ka'ba, he really meant it. That's what he likes. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So those who do this, it's not like they don't enjoy the dunya. No, they enjoy it as well. But only where, because God wants us, according to the verses of the Holy Quran, He wants us to enjoy His blessings here. But where it doesn't conflict with what He's told us against. So those who are willing to give up the enjoyment of this dunya for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they enjoy it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's He going to give them? He says, he swears again, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي وَعَظَمَتِي وَنُورِي وَعُلُوِّي وَارْتِفَاعُ مَكَانِي لَا يُؤْثِرُ عَبْدٌ هَوَايَ عَلَى هَوَاهُ. A servant is not going to prefer my words, my demands, my requests over his nafs and his desires, except that إِلَّا اسْتَحْفَظْتُهُ مَلَائِكَتِي. I'm going to send him bodyguards. Okay, they're going to protect him. Who are they? Angels. I will send angels that are going to protect this person. وَكَلَّفْتُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرَضِينَ رِزْقَهُ. I don't know if you've seen these people. There are certain people, they've implemented this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them sustenance from all directions. The hadith says, كَلَّفْتُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرَضِينَ رِزْقَهُ. I will make it the responsibility of the heavens and the earth to provide sustenance for this person. The people who give easily, the people who are giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His for His wish, for His want, for His will, then, and they practice everything else that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for them from all directions. Their business works a lot better, alright? Even when they don't have it, it comes from means that they didn't expect. وَكُنْتُ لَهُ مِنْ وَرَاءِ تِجَارَةِ كُلِّ تَاجِرٍ. Every businessman, everyone that does business, I'm going to be present there. I'm going to make sure there's some profit for this person in that business. وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَيَرَى بِمَاءٍ. The dunya is going to come to him in a way that it's fully at this person's service. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt, by the rights of the Imam of our time, to be able to take these remaining nights of the month of Ramadan, the remaining days of the month of Ramadan, to purify our souls, to move in that direction, to prefer God's wish and His will and His desire over ours, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life. We ask Him to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us develop ourselves to become His true soldiers and companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of